Verse number 12 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Everybody there say amen. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now he's getting ready to tell Timothy what's going to be like as time progresses along. He said, verse 13, but evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse. He's not saying that there hasn't always been evil men. There's been evil men ever since Cain. But he says it's going to get worse. And he's talking here specifically toward the latter days. And he said, because he looks there in verse chapter number 3, verse 1, it said, this knoweth in the last days. So he's saying, Timothy, and to the church, he's telling you and I, as the days approach to the end, he said, evil men and seducers. Now, what's that word, seducers? Shall wax worse and worse. Folks, I don't know. I'm ready for revival, glad for revival any time. To be honest with you, God's word is going to be fulfilled. And this thing going to get worse and worse. You just will get used to it and get prepared to live in it. And understand how you ought to live in that kind of day. And he said, they're going to do something. He said, these evil men and seducers, they're going to wax worse and worse. And then he said, they're going to do something. They're going to be deceiving and being deceived. So that's going to be one of the marks of it. Now he said, Timothy, because men are going to get more evil and more wicked and more seductive and more vile and more deceptive, he said, I'll tell you something. By the way, I believe that verse number 14 is a summary of everything Paul has taught Timothy in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. He said this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You ought to underline continue. You ought to underline what you've learned and been assured of. You can have blessed assurance about the Bible truth. Amen. You can have blessed assurance. And then he said something interesting. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So I want to just kind of hit you with this tonight. He's telling Timothy, he said, you continue. Don't you change things. Don't you get off course. Don't you come up with a new hatched idea. Don't you repackage Christianity. Don't you repackage church life. Don't you repackage biblical marriage. Don't you repackage raising children. You continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You're not questioning. Don't allow yourself to become, well, I just wonder if that's really the truth. Well, I really wonder if that's the way it ought to be. And he said, always remember of whom you've learned these things. Paul was an apostle. Jesus Christ taught his apostles. The apostles wrote the Bible. Paul is saying, you go straight back to your source, where you have assurance where this stuff has come from, the things that you've learned, the things that you know, you continue in them and don't you change. Then he says this, that from a child, and I want to say tonight to the children in this church, you are being raised in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And you can have assurance that the truth is in this book that's being preached in this church. And then the second thing is you need to also ask, who is it that's teaching me what I've learned? Your mother and dad, hopefully, are teaching you. And I would assume that you think that they love you and have your best in mind, that they're not out to trip you up and deceive you. I don't think there's any parents in this church that I know of that wants to raise their children in deception and stuff. He's saying, listen, and then your pastor and those that are teaching. He's saying, remember who, you know what? Look at those people's lives. Who were they? Not to say that they didn't make mistakes. Not to say that they were perfect or sinless. But who were your mom and dad? Who was your preacher? Who were those people who influenced you to the truth that you can rest assured in? And he said, you need to remember this, Timothy. Where did you get the truth from? Where did it come from? And you need to be assured of that. And from there, then he said this, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He's basically said, hey, Timothy, you were taught this when you're a child. Continue in it. Don't change. Don't get 40 years down the road and decide, oh, that's old fashioned. That's stupid. Or the culture's different now. Or we're in a different time. This Bible, its truths, its doctrines are unchangeable. We just got through singing, he never changes. And there's things that God doesn't want you to change about. He said, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ Jesus. All Scripture, this is the basis of that which he had learned. This is the source from which he had learned the things he had learned. He said, is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word thoroughly means the whole Bible. That means all of it. That means the whole thing, not just one little area of life. You need to be in one thing. That. Now, I want to preach tonight on two words in verse number 14. But continue. But continue. If I've ever seen a time in my life when people need the doctrine of continuing, it's now. Continue. All around us. All around us. Respect for the Bible. Respect for holiness. Respect for truth. Respect for righteousness is mocked and scorned. Doctrine is being cast aside for experience. Dress. Christian dress is being mocked and cast aside by the church. Christian deeds. Churches are changing and adapting to the culture instead of changing the culture in every issue of life. I want to read you a story tonight. Now, I'm not here preaching about all this stuff going on. I want to preach to you tonight and give you an encouraging message to continue. To continue. I want to read you a story about a man by the name of Don Chitty. Don Chitty's life is a series of miracles. It is a miracle that he is alive. Born into a broken home in the Florida Panhandle, Brother Chitty was living on his own as a teenager. He was worldly, living in a sinful lifestyle when he became part of the United States Marine Corps. He was wounded 10 times in Vietnam while serving in Black Ops with the Navy SEALs and Army Rangers. His 10th wound was extremely severe. He was damaged so badly that he is still partially paralyzed today. I lost so much blood, he said, that the medics thought I was dead. They put me in a body bag. That's when you get close, folks, amen? And airlifted me out with a number of dead soldiers. But in the cold air in the helicopter, I began to revive and began to stir. I opened my eyes to see a young soldier bending over me holding my dog tags, which said I was a Baptist. I was wearing a crucifix somebody had placed on me. They immediately detoured to a mass unit where I was given blood and my life was spared. It is a miracle that he is saved. Chitty came home from Vietnam with three Purple Hearts, a Bronze Star, two presidential citations, yet he was, in Don's own words, quote, a bitter, angry, chain-smoking, drug-addicted alcoholic, end of quote, who made life miserable for his young wife and infant son. The addictions worsened day by day until there was finally no money left for food or milk for the baby. But Don had a cousin by the name of Mike. Mike was a preacher who was confined to a wheelchair by cerebral palsy. His cousin Mike grew burdened about Don and his soul and began to pray for his salvation. Then for 8 consecutive Thursday nights, Mike went to visit Don with a Bible in his hand, trying to win him to Jesus Christ. Every time Brother Chitty threw Mike off of the porch with no regard to the fact that he was in a wheelchair. But finally one day, driving down a highway, Don could not stand it any longer. He pulled off the side of the road, accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, emptied his car of his cigarettes, marijuana, and whiskey, because in his words, he said, I wanted God to know that I'm in it. That night, when Mike showed up with some friends, Don got assurance of his salvation, and his wife Regina was saved that night as well. It is a miracle that he is in the ministry today. He said, I was saved on August the 24th, 1970. But he said, God had work to do to get the slop out of the hog. And man, I read that, I said, I'm going to make a message out of that, getting the slop out of the hog. You know, you can get the hog out of the slop, but getting the slop out of the hog is another thing. He said, he began to grow in the Lord. Don began to bring others to church so they too could be saved. He did everything he could to help out around the church. He mowed the grass, drove a bus, taught a Sunday school class, and anything else he could do to serve in the church. Then God called Don to preach. Quote, that was my real first test of obedience to God. I was willing to do anything but preach. But God made Don miserable. And finally, he surrendered. His pastor wasted no time. When he came to tell his pastor that he would be a preacher if God wanted him to, the pastor announced to the church that Brother Chitty would be preaching in the next service. It wasn't long before Don and his family went off to Bible college. It is a miracle that he, well, I'm going to save the rest of the story till at the end of the message. I'll read the rest of it later. I want to preach on this subject and continue, and believe you me, there's a reason I'm saving it, because one of the most amazing stories about continuing you're ever going to hear in your life is on this man right here. The Bible says in our text to continue in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. God is saying to you and I tonight, don't change. Stay at it. God's telling the church and the preachers, don't change your message. Don't change your methods. Don't change the truth for your family. Don't change them for your loved ones. Don't change them for fads and fashions and for acceptance and among the denomination leaders. Don't change the message. Don't change the methods. In Proverbs 24, verse 21, the Bible says, meddle not with them that are given to change. Don't piddle with those people. Now, don't get me wrong. It's okay to change clothes once in a while. It's all right to maybe better design something and to change a few things. But when it comes to the fundamental, basic principles of faith, God says, don't you ever change. Paul is telling Timothy, you stay at that and you continue with that. I'm preaching this tonight because I know we need this. We all need this. Each one of us need it along the trail of life. We're all tempted to change. We're all tempted to soften up or to give in somewhere, to compromise what we know to be the truth. And God says, don't do that. Paul told Timothy, you continue in the things that thou hast learned. I want to give you a great truth tonight. Success in life does not come just by doing the right thing. Listen to me close. Success, whether it's the ministry, business, marriage, raising your children, or anything else, comes doing the right thing for a long, long time. Never quitting doing the right thing. You can do the right thing with your family for 28 years and change and lose it. God says, continue in the things that thou hast learned. Can I say to you, the farther you go in life, the more important it is that you do not change. There's going to be pressure on you to change continuously, and more pressure as you get older. I believe church services ought to be today what they were 2,000 years ago. I don't think they should have changed. Let me tell you what I believe the Bible teaches clearly. You read your Bible, you'll find out that they read the Bible. There was preaching, there was teaching, there was singing, there was praising, and there was praying in church. And I don't think that'll change. I think that's what church ought to be out of, and that's what I intend for there to be here at this. I believe the church was sending people, and the church was going, and the church was taking the gospel out to people, and that ought ever change. We ought to continue in the things which we have learned. I don't think we ought to get carried up in this business of just trying to change church services to adapt to cultures. Success in life will be if you continue in the things that you've learned from the Bible. And if you're assured of them, you need to not just learn them, you need to make up your mind. You know what? I would say to my children tonight, is the things I've taught you right? Are you sure of it? Have you checked it against the Word of God? I would challenge you in this church house tonight. Are the things being preached in this church, are they right? The things that you've learned, if they're right, if they're being assured of you, and you need to look and say, hey, who did I learn this from? And where did it come from? And what's the basis of it being right? You need to ask yourself that question. Jesus, the apostles, to Timothy, to the saints. What have you learned, and where did you learn it from, about what you believe about marriage? What do you believe about children, the raising of children? What do you believe about finances? What do you believe about work ethic? What do you believe about a lot of things? All the issues of life. What do you believe? Where did you get it from? God is saying, I want you to learn what to believe from the Bible, and don't you ever change, and don't let anybody change you about that. Satan's goal is to get you to change, or to get you to discontinue instead of continuing. There's a few things God's Word says we ought to continue, and I'll get these real quick and I'll finish this story I read a while ago. Number one, John 8, verse 31, the Bible says, if ye continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples. God says that we're number one to continue in the Word of God. Let me tell you something, folks. This is where churches have gotten off and Christians have gotten off. You know something? Books are wonderful and pamphlets are fine and videos and films are great. But I'm going to tell you something. God said, never told me to continue in a pamphlet. God never told me to continue in some man's writing. And I'm going to tell you, be careful about getting to where you're spending more time and everything else. Spend time in this book. Continue in His Word. Can I tell you tonight, can I encourage you? Keep reading your Bible. Keep reading your Bible. Keep reading your Bible. Keep reading your Bible. Keep memorizing verses. Keep meditating in the Word of God. Keep seeking. It pays off. I'm telling you tonight, I'm a standing witness. It pays to read this Bible. It pays to meditate in this book. God will write the last chapters. It pays. Keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. And don't let anybody take it away from you. He said, if you continue in my word. Number one, God wants you to continue in His word. You say, Reggie, I'm trying to. I'm just trying to encourage you to do that tonight. All right. Continue applying and claiming His word. By the way, can I say continue in the old authorized version tonight? Continue in it. Continue in His word. And so number two tonight, God wants you to continue in His love. In John chapter 15 and verse number 9, Jesus said this, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Watch what He said. Continue ye in my love. We're to continue in the Word. We're to continue in His love. We need to just keep on loving God no matter what hits us. Like I preached this morning, when bitter waters hit you, just keep on loving God. I'm going to tell you something. God's always good. I don't care what the devil tells you. Just keep on loving God. Keep on loving your spouse. Keep on loving your spouse. You didn't marry the perfect person in the world. Your spouse has got problems. Your spouse has got situations, but keep on loving them. God is saying continue in His love. Continue in His love. Don't ever quit loving. Don't ever quit loving. That doesn't mean you like everything everybody does all the time, but you don't have to quit loving people just to disagree with people. Amen? Keep on loving your children. Keep on loving your parents. Keep on loving your siblings. Keep on loving the brethren. By the way, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Continue. God says continue. Brother Terry did something that blew me away this week. It's all right, Brother Terry, if I demonstrate this thing, I want you to get the credit because he showed me. I walked in the office the other day and he says, come here, I want to show you something. Now, everybody take your hands. Like this right here. Everybody take your hands. Put your fingers and thumbs all together. All right? You ready? This will blow you away. I'm going to have them do that just now. Take your middle fingers, bring them down like that, and push them in together like that. All right? Everybody got it? Everything's fingers, thumbs all touching, but your middle finger is pushed together like that. Now this, Terry, straighten me out if I get this wrong. Are you ready? The thumbs represent what, Terry? Your parents. You can and will be, and God says that be separated from your parents. Can you take your thumbs apart? How many can take your thumb apart? All right. Your fingers represent what, Terry? This is your siblings. You can be separated from your parents. You can be separated from your siblings, and you will be. That's your brothers and sisters. All right. Terry, it's this one here next, isn't it?
The
middle one's you, right here, the middle knuckles, that's yourself. You can't be separated from yourself. Okay? Now, the little finger is separated from what, Terry? From your children. There's going to come time the kid's going to leave out and the nest's going to be empty. Now, this, I'll call it your ring finger for a better source, represents, guess what? Your spouse. Now you keep that middle finger together because you can't be separated from yourself, and you take that spousal finger apart. Try it. You were created by God. Isn't that the finger you put your wedding ring on? I don't know where Terry got that at, but it's good. And it's so good. You know what it's teaching you? Continue in your marriage. Continue in your marriage. I mean, everything in life, God says you continue. I mean, you know what the problem in America is? We have not continued submitting to our Constitution. We have not continued in the Word of God. The lack of continuance is what's killing this nation. And the lack of continuance in the things that you've learned is what will get you. Continue in His Word. Continue in His love. Number three tonight, God says in His Word that we're continuing something else. We're to continue in His grace. In Acts 13:43, Paul and Barnabas, the Bible said Paul and Barnabas, who's speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. One of the greatest mistakes we'll ever make is we're saved by grace and then 5 years later we're trying to live in the flesh. or by the law. That is a tragic mistake. You are not to live by the flesh or by the law. You are to continue in the grace of God. It's grace that has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And it's amazing grace that keeps us day by day. And everything you're doing ought to be by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Continue in grace. Don't try to be a Christian in your own efforts and obeying God in your own efforts and stuff. Continue in grace. That's the whole book of Galatians is written to that subject, that you know what, you were saved by grace, and now you're going up here and claiming you're keep saving, you're living in the Christian life in your own efforts and by the power of the flesh. Listen, folks, it's just grace. It's just grace. I mean, you know what, I just pastor this church by grace. I just preach by grace. Karen and I stay together by grace. We're raising our family by grace. We make a living by the grace of God. You know, I'm not crazy, by grace, amen. Now, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you all that this is, I have to stop this message and give you a sad report from Brother Ralph Pitts and from Danny Friend. Got a report tonight from these fellows. They said there's a new statistic out that 25% of women in America are under mental treatment. That means the other 75% are not. That we have 75% of them running loose without mental treatment. Those guys told me that. I just take it up with them. Hey, that was so bad that when Danny told me, he said, now Ralph told me. He wanted to make sure, Ralph, that you got tagged with. You were outside the church when you said that. Okay, all right. Listen, those guys will need personal bodyguards all the way to their cars tonight, all right? But you know what? We're saved by grace. We ought to live by grace. Isn't this wonderful to live by grace, isn't it? Amen. I don't want to try to live in the flesh. I can't live the Christian life in the power of the flesh. I want to live by the sweet grace of God every day of my life and have wonderful grace of Jesus, saving the most defiled. Boy, let's live by grace. If I was going to name a church anything besides Liberty Faith, it'd be something grace. I guarantee you, because the older I get, the more I realize it's all grace. Well, the Bible said in Acts chapter 14, number 4, we're to continue in faith. We're to continue in His Word, continue in love, continue in grace, and number 4, continue in the faith. The Bible said there, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Colossians 1:22, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. The Bible teaches us that if there's anything you need to do, you decide, I want to ask you tonight, make up your mind whether you got the truth or not. Amen? You need to make up your mind, is this the truth or not? Continue in the faith. Grounded and being settled. You know what I'm talking about tonight? I'm talking about just keep on believing when you can't hardly believe. Just staggering off the promises of God. The Bible talking about Abraham, who just kept on believing against all odds, just kept trusting God. To the faith once delivered to the saints. Let me tell you something. We need to get so continued in the faith that whenever we don't understand what's going on in our life, when we hit those bitter waters, we just say, Lord, I still trust you. Amen. Lord, I still trust you. I like what the old preacher said one time. I was listening to him, bless my heart, old trembling preacher. He said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, when you stand by the graveside of your grandchild and they put him in the ground and you're looking between the crack between the casket and the dirt, and you can say, Lord, I still believe. He said, you're sitting there by the bedside of that loved one and then all that junk's on their head and the doc's telling you it's 10 or 15 minutes and you've done everything you can. And they're going out and you've prayed your heart out and you've cried out to God, Lord, spare them, and they still die and you still say, Lord, I just still believe you. Continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. You know, I don't know what you're going to hit, what you'll be hit with. You know, continue in the faith when you're 5. Elijah, I want you to continue in the faith. How old are you now? Aren't you 19? When you're 30, I want you to still continue in the faith. When you're 50, continue in the faith. When you're 70, continue in the faith. When you're 90, continue in the faith. Don't let nothing shake your faith. I'll tell you, we need some people. You'll tell you what, if it was ever right, it's still right. Amen. If it's right tonight, it'll be right. It'll be right 1,000 years from now. Amen. Continue in the faith. And then the Bible found something else that said continue in, and that's in Romans 11:22. It said that we're to continue in the goodness of God. He said continue in His goodness. Boy, you know God is good. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, God's good this afternoon. I had a chance to pray with my 3 sons. Boy, I tell you, God's good. I said, Lord, this is awful good getting to pray with my 3 boys at one time. God's good, amen. God's always good. God is good eternally. Continue in goodness toward others. You know what? Don't get hard and calloused and bitter and all cranked up. Just keep being good to people. God wants you to continue manifesting His goodness through your life to other people's lives. God wants you to be good to people. God don't want you chewing people out and giving them what for. Be good to people. I'll tell you what, you can give people the gospel till they're blue in the face, but if you don't demonstrate God's goodness to them, they ain't got no time for it. Amen. Be good to people at every opportunity. Don't let folks make you bitter. Be good to folks. You'll get it thrown back in your face, but that's all right. Jesus did too. Number six tonight, the Bible says there's another thing we're to continue in, and we're to continue in doctrine. We're to continue in doctrine. In 1 Timothy 4:16, the Bible said, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. You say, what are you talking about? I want to tell you some doctrine tonight. Let me give you some doctrine. Doctrine is what the Bible teaches. This is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved Word of God. That's doctrine. Don't let nobody shake you in that. You continue in doctrine. You talk about continuing in inspiration and preservation of Scripture. You're continuing creation in the doctrine of creation. You know what we did? We failed. They failed back there somewhere to teach the doctrine of creation in churches. I mean, lock hard, solid. And then the world stole millions of our children away from us through the false teaching of evolution. And we should have continued in the doctrine of creation. Creation is a doctrine in the Bible. The creation of the virgin birth. Jesus Christ was virgin born of the Holy Ghost of God. And if he's not our Savior. But he is the virgin born Son of God. We ought to continue in the sinless life of Jesus Christ. That's doctrine. The Bible said he never sinned. That's doctrine. Don't you let anybody tell you. That's what's the trouble with the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. They do not believe he's God Almighty. They just believe he's a good prophet. That's what's wrong with Islam and all that junk. They do not believe that doctrine. Paul's telling Timothy, you continue in that. Don't you let anybody shake you in that doctrine. We need to continue the doctrine of new birth. You must be born again. It's not signing a card. It's not being baptized in water. You must be born again. We've got to continue in that doctrine. In the sacrificial, substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is doctrine. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace for what He done. And we've been faith, believe that. And God imputes His righteousness to you and God, and your sin to Jesus Christ. That's doctrine. You're saved by grace. Somebody died in your place, paid the price for you. That's doctrine. Continue in it. You say, Reggie, why is this important? I'll tell you why it's important. Because when you have somebody walk up to you after church on a Sunday morning that's been sitting and listening to you for 5 years, but some little twerp out here somewhere is giving them literature every week and undermining the message of the gospel to them, and come up to you and say, now, Reggie, I just don't know about this thing about eternal life you preach. I think there's things you need to do to keep staying saved. You'll know what I'm talking about then. When you see that nonsense of somebody undermining that doctrine, tear somebody up, or somebody comes in and says, well, I've come to believe that unless I speak in tongues, I don't have the Holy Spirit. And you teach that you have the Holy Spirit when you're saved. I'm talking about continuing in doctrine. If it's right, it's right. Amen. And then the blood atonement and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. He did come up from the grave. I'll tell you, the second coming of Jesus Christ is doctrine. We believe He's coming back, amen. And then the triune Godhead, not like the apostolics up here at Seymour. They believe in Jesus only, don't believe in God the Father, don't believe in God the Holy Ghost, and Jesus, and they baptize in Jesus' name only. And they'll take a little one passage of Scripture and rest the whole thing up. Jesus Himself, I asked a guy one night at a Burger King or something, I was coming home from preaching revival up in Bolivar, Missouri, sitting there eating a sandwich, guy come over there. And started in on me, come to find out he's apostolic. I said, what do you do with when Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Yeah. I said, get out of here. You ain't going to change me. I said, listen, you didn't come over here for good purposes anyway. You know, just get out. You ain't changing me. I'm continuing in the doctrine. You're wasting your time trying to tell me Jesus only. Continue in the doctrine of heaven, amen. I still believe in heaven. Somebody said to me this week, what about heaven? What am I going to do? Sit there and play harps and walk up and down the street? Land, though, there's a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be returned to its Edenic standard. When God created this earth, let me tell you something. Heaven, Jerusalem, the streets of gold are just the city. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And don't let nobody rob you of that, amen. I believe there'll be, in fact, if it is, I know from the Bible, there's going to be trees in the new creation. There's going to be rivers. It's going to be wonderful, amen. You ain't never seen pretty yet. You ain't never seen pretty yet. And then believe in the doctrine of hell. That's been derailed by a lot of churches, by a lot of things. Listen, you continue. Don't you ever let hell get out of your mind. I'm telling you something right now. It's in the Bible. It's doctrine. And by the way, can I say to you in the night, I just so much anymore, you continue in the doctrine of the church and also the doctrine of Israel. And Israel has not replaced the church. The church has not replaced Israel. They're two separate things. God has a plan for the church and God has a plan for Israel. And stand by Israel. Amen. I wrote to that lady this week, that Jewish lady that wrote, I said, I'm a strong supporter of Israel and the Jewish people, and I know where they're at in the Bible, and you know, listen, God bless you for that. He will. I'm living testimony to that. Finally tonight, the Bible says continue in something else. And that's why this morning I encourage you, and I want to say I thank you folks for that. You didn't come and pray tonight. The Bible says continue in prayer. In Colossians 4:2, the Bible says continue in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians it says pray without ceasing. You know what? I'll encourage you. Reggie, I've been praying that for years and I ain't seen it. Well, just continue praying. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. I'm telling you something right now. The fun part about getting older is you get to really see what God has done. I have a journal and I have a Bible. I was reading my Bible reading this week and I come across a deal and I write stuff all the time. And on the side, I wrote down a deal, a prayer request, and I was going through there and lo and behold, I had to write. That was answered. So I wrote down answered. You see, you know what you'll do? You'll pray about things and forget 6 years later and God answered that prayer. God says continue your prayer. Can I say to you tonight, don't give up praying. Don't give up praying for your loved ones. Don't give up praying for the sick. Don't give up praying for your family. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. You may say, well, can I tell you something? Listen, well, I'll tell you what, Reggie, church just seems kind of like it's getting dull to me. I'm just kind of like, no, I, you know what? Hey, guess what? You go out and pray by yourself for an hour, you'll feel like it gets dull. Don't tell me about dull. Somebody got to entertain you all your life? Jesus got to come down and do a dance on a rock for you? What's he going to do? Your flesh is weak. Your flesh gets bored. But you know what God said to do? He said, just keep on praying. Jesus said, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Just keep on praying. You say, I forgot to pray yesterday. Keep on praying next day. Just keep on praying. Don't ever quit praying. I'm telling you what, I love this subject. I love the subject of prayer. Because I'm telling you, I have so many prayers being answered in my life, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm talking about unbelievable. I've seen things I just like, I can't hardly believe God did it. I mean, I'm like they was whenever they came and said, Peter's out of jail. I said, oh, it's just, they was in there praying. I didn't believe it. I've seen it. God answers prayer. And you know what? I ain't got a right to quit praying for lost people. Somebody prayed for me. I ain't got a right to quit praying. Hey, can I tell you, pray about your finances. Pray about your health. Pray about your problems. Just pray. Take it to the Lord. Just keep praying. Pray. 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 Keep on praying. Don't let the devil tell you it's a waste of time praying. You kids listen to this preacher. If I never preach one more time in this pulpit, you keep praying. You continue in prayer. Prayer is real. I serve a prayer answering God tonight. I know that church can get, well, it can get dull. You've been hearing, you've been hearing, you've been hearing. And you can tell 5 minutes before Reggie gets there where he's headed to. How many times has he told that story? And I know his whole history. All I know to do is continue. You know what? I'm going to just continue preaching. And I hope you continue coming to church. And I hope you continue staying married. And I hope you continue working. If I've ever learned anything from my daddy, is just keep working. I tell you what, I never will forget. One day I went down there to see him, and this had been a couple of years ago. He had been sick some, and I went by there to see him. Mom comes to the door. I said, how you doing? We been? I said, where's Daddy? She said, I don't know. He's over on the back side of the place somewhere building fence. She said, Reggie, I'm worried about it. I said, he'd get down. I don't know. He just, you know, he's 88 years old. So I got in my truck. She kind of told me where she thought he might be over in the back foot. Now they're over. I mean, I'm talking, it was hot. I mean, I'm talking about 88, 92 degrees. I mean, muggy hot. So, and there we'll get. Drove up there, and there he was. Pair of fencing pliers in his hand. Patching fence. Sweat just rolling off his head. And him taking them little steps. Yeah. Looked at me and said, what are you doing? I said, well, I come to see you. And I looked at that and I said, Reggie, learn something. Keep on keeping on. Keep getting up in the morning. Keep smiling. Keep on the sunny side. Continue seeing the good side of life. It ain't all bad. Amen. There's lots of blessings. Just keep getting up and going to work. Amen. Just continue. Keep getting your old Bible out and keep reading. Keep praying. Keep coming to church. Keep being patient with Reggie. Keep witnessing to people. Keep on soul winning. You say, man, I just can't seem to lead nobody to Christ. Hey, we plant and water and God gives the increase. That's what we're doing. And just keep on doing it. Oh, got to read you a little story here. You've heard it probably, but I love it so. It's been an inspiration to me. Two little froggies fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep, and the cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use, croaked frog number one? 'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friends. Goodbye, sad world. And weeping still, he drowned. But frog number two, of a sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise. All the while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. I think I'll just swim a while at least, he said. Or so I've heard, he said. It really wouldn't help, he said, or hurt the world if just one more frog was dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and kicked and swam and kicked and then hopped out on a ball of butter. Amen. Now, if you all will come back next Sunday, I'll read you the finishing of that story about Don Chitty. Now, if you want to hear a story, and I tell you, I want some of you young men to take this, don't you ever forget what you get ready to hear, okay? Where did I stop at? No, he went off to Bible college. And it is a miracle that he has an amazing church reaching the Navajo Indians. I wish so bad I would have known about this church when I was out at the Four Corners area here just a while back. He said, I graduated on a Monday night from Bible college, and on Friday I was on the reservation of the Navajo Indians trying to win people to Christ. Boy, listen good. Open Bible Baptist Church did not start out with a bang. It did not even start out with a whimper. In fact, it barely started at all. Brother Chitty's first meeting place was in a 1956 Chevrolet bus. That was their first church building. They worked hard. We operated, though, he said, like we were running a church over 1,000. We went soul winning and had Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night services and Saturday bus calling. And for 3.5 years, not one person came to church. For 3.5 years, not one person came to church. Brother Chitty would preach to his wife and 2 sons. Boy, don't you know they got bored of church. I mean, they didn't have anybody to think, I think he must be preaching to them over there. He recalls, finally, one Wednesday evening, I came home intending to again preach to my family as usual. And to my utter shock, 79 Navajo Indians had showed up for a Wednesday night service. By the time that service ended, late that evening, every one of those 79 Navajo Indians had trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and were baptized that night in a nearby irrigation ditch. Within 6 months, the church was running 250 people. And Brother Chitty testifies, we've been growing ever since. Dr. Chitty sees the Navajo tribe as a mission field that has yet to be tapped. In 1850, the Navajos were given a piece of land about the size of South Carolina in the Four Corners region of the United States. As their own sovereign land, it is today the largest Native American reservation in the world. The closest city at that time was Santa Fe, over 300 miles away. And though the Indians were told that the land would be theirs to hunt, fish, and grow crops on, they found that it is a sandstone which cannot even be broken up with a pickaxe. There's almost no rain. And until 1975, there was no gospel witness to the 500,000 people who inhabit this reservation. The Navajo reservation is much like a foreign land, he explains, calling them there a nation within a nation. They have different customs and speak a different language. 62% of them live in homes with no running water or electricity. 80% of the crimes committed are involved alcohol abuse. Most are unemployed, living in hogans or shacks made of odd pieces of lumber. They were put here in 1850 to literally die, he says. They have a saying, all you can grow here is old. But in 1975, the sun, capital S, arose on a nation where there's been no gospel light until Brother Chitty and his family answered God's call. And though this is truly a missionary ministry, the church now averages 1,000 people every Sunday during the school year and 600 people when the school is not in session. Their Christian school has graduated over 80 students. Most of them have gone on to attend college, many to Christian colleges. Some of them have come back to be pastors, school teachers, and bus workers. For over 20 years, Open Bible Baptist Church has not had a week in which they have not had a visitor in church or seen someone saved. Despite their hugely successful ministry, the economic situation among the Navajos is so dire that Open Bible Baptist Church is of necessity a ministry that is sustained by the outside support of mission-minded churches that help him. Brother Smith, who has preached at Open Bible Baptist Church, has seen the work firsthand and says, this is amazing work, a needed work, a fruitful ministry that is worthy of the support of us all. Brother Don Chitty runs the bus ministry, which Brother Junior runs the bus ministry, which Brother Chitty considers to be the backbone of the church. Most of the members, listen to it, have no way to come to church except through their buses. One of their 9 buses that runs travels over 150 miles every Sunday to get people to church. The church also operates a Bible Institute and a Spanish ministry. The church has had a high attendance of 1,812 people, seen over 5,000 people saved in a single year, and had over 1,300 people in one single year obey the Lord in baptism. And the man didn't have one person come to church for 3.5 years. Continue. 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 This is what he says. His advice to fellow saints is 3 things. Number one, he said, take a strong stand on the King James Bible. That's number one. Amen. He said, this is not going to be very popular in the day we live and the age which you live. But he said, stand by the King James Bible. God will bless it with seeing supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Number two, watch this. This is his life's core principles. Number two, do something to keep somebody from going to hell every day, every week of your life. Do something to keep somebody from going to hell every week of your life. Can I tell you tonight that the biggest problems you're having right now in your life would vanish if you'll get to soul winning and talking to people about the Lord? Can I tell you that God will take care of your burden if you'll get busy taking care of God's business? Number three, whatever God does with your life, you need to make sure that He gets all the glory and all the honor for it. And he said, having these three things, you're prepared for God to bless your life. And I agree with him. I read that and I said, my land of living. Reggie, what if you and Karen and Nathan and Zach would have went out there when you was 28 years old and for 3.5 years wrote back to the home folks, we don't have one person in church. 6 months in, 12 months in, has anybody showed up for church? Nobody's come. Year and a half, Reggie, has anybody ever come to church? No, we ain't had anybody show up. 2 years, Reggie, has anybody ever showed up to church? Have you led anybody to Christ? No, I haven't. 2.5 years, Reggie, has anybody showed up to church? Would you come back and give a report on the work out there? 3 years, get up behind the pulpit here and say, well, really don't have much to say other than we're just working. Ain't nobody ever come to church yet. In 3.5 years, because a man continued, hundreds and hundreds of Navajo Indians are now saved because he didn't quit and go home. Here's the secret. Are you in the will of God? If you're in the will and the way of God, you continue. You continue. You keep changing them diapers. You keep doing the dishes. You keep staying out there and going out there and doing the work that God's given you to do. The thing God's going to reward you for is if you continue. That's what He's going to reward you for. Amen. Let's go out this week. Let's stay at it. What do you say? Let's stand together. Brother Lindell Lakey. Would you pray with, lead us, I want us to all pray. You know what tonight? God said continue in His grace. You know how you're going to continue? How many here knows how you're going to continue? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. That's how you continue. Let's not just have Him pray. Let's all pray, Lord, give me the grace to continue. Brother Lindell.